here. So we're going to look at Parashat Tezriah. And, you know, most of this is about Tzaraat, which I'm not going to translate as leprosy, because clearly it's nothing to do with leprosy. Ramban, interestingly, uses the word tinea for that, which is the word which is ringworm, yeast, a fungal infection, being closer to what it looks like. But Tzaraat, spiritual disease, and emphasizes the fact that Kohen is important in that. This is the way that the halacha starts, verse 1, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe ve'el Aharon le'mor. Hashem says to Moshe and Aharon, so it's not just to Moshe, Adam kiye ba'or b'saro, if a person has in their flesh, it's the edos of pachat or baheret. I can't even translate those. It's like reading a dermatology textbook, because all the words are strange Latin that don't say anything. So it's the edos of pachat or baheret, whatever those are. Lesions. And what happens in his flesh is a lesion of tzarat. And it has to be brought to Aaron. Specifically, got a Kohen, or to one of his descendants, you have to bring it to the Kohen. Where the Mishnah puts it, anyone is kosher, can see and can look and diagnose a nega. And the Bartur explains that anyone, a kol there means any Kohen.
Oh.
Okay. And yes, that means male Kohen here. Kolker Sharim Nigorotekim. Even though the Kohen has no idea what he's looking at, doesn't know anything about Negayim. He's kosher to make the diagnosis. Im Chacham Imo Roeh. He has to bring an expert with him. Even if the expert's not a Kohen. So he has some kind of certified Tzaraat expert who says, yeah, it's Tzaraat. The Kohen says, it's Tzaraat. That's what makes Kohen have to say. But if it's just him by himself, he doesn't know anything about what they are, what they're called, in a royal game, they should not do that. That's what that means. Everyone can look at the Tukohe Nega, but declaring it Tamei Tahar, that's the Kohen does that. Gotta be Kohen. Omrim lo and more tame. And so the expert who's with him says, say it's tame. Who omer tame? And he says, okay, it's tame. Omer emor tahar, the expert says, you know, you should say it's not tzarat, it's pure. Who omer tahar? Here again, explain that the Chacham Yisrael, a Chacham who is not a Kohen in Israel, wrote to him, omer Kohen, and he could tell the Kohen what to do. Apo Pishahu Shoteh, even if the Kohen knows nothing. Martameh or Martahar, you tell him what to say. It's the declaration of the Kohen that matters. And that's an interesting halakha in itself. What's odd about it is that it's this whole legal section about Tzaraat that comes in the middle of the narrative. So the last week's parasha, Parasha Shemini, was about the opening ceremonies of Mishkan. That's Perek Yud. And it has the story of Vayikuvrei Aaron Nadav Avihu Ish Machzato, that the sons of Aaron took their fire pans and they brought the strange fire, but Tetei Eshlot Hashem, and the fire came out and they died. And then Parsha Achrema, which is Perek Tet Zayin, so that six trucking later continues by Deber Hashem Moshe Achrei Moshe Ve'Aaron. Hashem tells Moshe after the death of Aaron's sons, the Korban Tumas Hashem by Vemutu, when they came too close to God and died, and that's the halacha of Yom Kippur, of, you know, okay, Aaron's son came in incorrectly, here's how to do it right. Ayom Hashem on Moshe, Daber Aaron Achisha, go tell your brother Aaron, v'ayavo b'kol eid al kodesh, you cannot come at all times to into the holy place, v'beit l'parochet, in front of the parochet, v'pnei ha'kaporet, to the cover of the Aaron, even an Aaron, right? So you have Aaron's son die, and then six struck him later. We tell you how to avoid that.
Hey, so Davida.
Five struck him. Hi, Davida. We're talking about Tzaraat. And the fact that we have five struck him of halakas about Tzaraat, and about a bunch of other things that could have been anywhere, but are somehow put right in the middle of the discussion of it goes from sons of Aaron die, and then the instructions acharei Moshe ben Aaron.
What did you say about Yom Kippur? How did Yom Kippur come into this?
The acharei Mot, the Moshe acharei Mot shnei ben Aaron, is the discussion of the avoda of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur.
Oh.
How the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodashim. In other words, none of you did it wrong. Here's how to do it right. Somehow we have all these other things in here that in between, which they could have been put anywhere. So I'm assuming that that's part of it, you know, these laws here of Torah are inherent to telling us what a Kohen is being a Kohen is all about. You need to know this before you start going into the Kodesh Kodeshim, because this is what being a Kohen is all about. So none of any of you died because they got it wrong. Here are instructions about being a Kohen. Here are the final instructions for going into the Kodesh Kodeshim. And these halachas here, that's by Deber Hashem U Moshe, et cetera, my model for how that works is that basically Moshe had gotten all these laws in Har Sinai. Okay, Moshe comes down from Har Sinai with, at the time, the second Lukot, having learned all these laws, and spends the next 6 months, comes down Yom Kippur. Everybody's, you know, the craftsmen are all building the Mishkan. That won't be dedicated till Nisan. So he's got 6 months here where people are working on it, but he has established his own Ohel Moed, which is his tent that's outside the camp. He's teaching everybody the things that he had learned, all these halachot. And the way it's described in Parsha Ki Tisa, after he comes down that second time, six, Vayar Aaron v'kol b'nei Yisrael, Aaron and all b'nei Yisrael saw Moshe, sees Moshe, make Karan or Panav, and his face is shining. Vayiru v'gesh elav, and they're all afraid to go near him. He's so holy, his face is shining after coming down from Har Sinai. Vayikra elehem Moshe, and Moshe calls them, Vayishu elav, Aaron v'kol b'nei Yisrael, and so Aaron and the leaders come back to Moshe, Vayidaber Moshe elehem, Moshe talks to them. And all the rest of the people come to Moshe after that. And that's, he teaches them everything he has learned on Har Sinai. You're now learning this is the basically Torah Shavuot path. These are all the laws that you need to know. 6 months crash course. Talmud. And Moshe, when Moshe finished talking to them, he puts the veil over his face because his face is shining. Everyone kind of weirded out by that. And when Moshe would go back, and this is before the Mishkan is built. Moshe's got this other tent outside the camp that's called the Ohel Moed before the Mishkan itself. Moshe would go to speak with Hashem. He would take off the veil. He'd come back and tell Bnei Israel what he'd been commanded. He's teaching. So before the Mishkan's built, he's been teaching all these halachot. But putting him here, which is after the introduction of the Mishkan, clearly I would see that as being kind of a refresher course. You knew all this beforehand. But remember, this is what it's all about. It's specifically aimed at the Kohanim. It starts in Lexus Parsha, right after the story of the death of Nadab and Abihu. We start with these halachot. It starts with laws of kashrus. These are the kosher animals.
Danny, that kuf is wrong. Right?
Did I say? I did. Okay, thank you. That's why.
I'm trying to think of what that word means, kesher and connection.
You're right. I don't know. Sorry.
Kashrut. Looks like a good word, doesn't it, Davida?
I'm sure it's a word somewhere.
Yeah, the kashrut means it means kesher. It means to be connected.
Connectivity.
Kashrut is communication. Okay, so kashrut is wrong. Thank you.
Kashrut. I always say it with a Q now. I see a Q. Kashrut.
Oh yeah, but this is not a Q.
It's not. No, it doesn't work.
Regular, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will have to edit that. Thank you. Yeah, that's why I do this. I need this. Otherwise, people make fun of me. Okay, laws of kashrut. Okay, so it says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe el Aharon." It says, okay, it specifically says, Hashem tells Moshe and Aharon, Lemor Alehem, to tell them, figure that out, and then Dabru al Bnei Israel. Go talk to Bnei Israel, Lemor, Zodach Yashir Tachlu Mikol Be'Masher Ha'aretz, these are the animals you can eat, etc. And the introduction is by the Elisha Rashi, puts it, El Moshe ve'El Aharon, it's L'Moshe, Emor, She'yomar La'Aram, that the speech was to Moshe, as we described, that he could tell it to Aharon. Again, this is all being described after the death of Nadav Adihu.
Emor, tell, Amar, right? Amar.
L'Moshe Amar, you're right. L'Moshe Amar, She'yomar La'Aram. He told Moshe in order to tell to Aharon, and then it's Lemor Aleihem. Question is, who is the Aleihem? It says, Amar, She'yomar La'Elazar L'Tamar.
Oh.
To sons of Aharon. Oh, you know, Ella Lemor Israel. Maybe it means Lemor Aleihem to all Bnei Israel. That can't be, because the next words are to Omer, Dabru Bnei Israel, Hare Dibur Amor Israel. So that the next part tells you to tell Bnei Israel. So clearly, this is someone else. Assumption is El Aharon Lemor Aleihem is the subject of the previous paragraph, which is the remaining sons of Aharon. So what I do is Lahem Libanim.
So Rashi is careful to read the words, but it says Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe El Aharon. That there's nothing odd there that you would think it means to Moshe and for Moshe to tell Aharon.
It has the double L. Like, why does it say by the Hashem El Moshe Ve'Aharon? It says Ve'El.
That detail is a separate discussion about whether Aharon got directly told or not. That's not for here. Go back and look at the Parashat HaChodesh. They talk about that. That's the first by Hashem Moshe Ve'El Aharon. And Rashi discusses that and what that means and how do we understand that. Okay, so that's you wouldn't see that just looking at it here.
Okay.
That's a bigger question about the nature of Aharon's nevuah, which is a fine shear in itself. But not for today. However, this Shabbos is Parsha Chodesh. So look at that and look at the Rashi on that. When he says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Ve'El Aharon. Okay. So that's the deal. These are prakim that are aimed specifically at the Kohanim. Okay. And mm-hmm. I spelled it wrong. Kashrut. Laws of childbirth and about the tumma that's associated with childbirth, laws of Tarat and of Zava of emission. Those are the laws that are here that are right in the middle of the narrative. So what do they have in common? So, you know, Menachem Litek at the Gersh has a shear on this. Yeah. Suggests that they're all about tumma tahara. Various aspects. The kosher animals here are not so much about the eating, but the fact that they are tame, and therefore once you're tame, you can't go into the Mishkan. You can't go to the Mikdash. So the sin of Nadav Avihu, which was being in the wrong place at the wrong time, Moshe reviews the rules for not going to the Mikdash. That's you need to know the laws of Tumah Tahara. Here's the shear on the laws of Tumah Tahara there for everybody to take a look at it. But I'm not going to go there, mostly because if this is all about Tumah and Tahara, then the fundamental, the Avah Tumah itself is missing here. It's not here at all. That's in Parsha Chukah, Parsha Parah, which we read 2 weeks ago. If you want to talk about Tumah, then don't not talking about dead bodies, Tumah Amit, you're missing something. And the other side of that is that what Nadav and Avihu did was not a problem with Tumah. There was their tummy and went inside. So this is, it seems like the wrong halacha. Is that really what you're concerned about? Let me look at a different approach. What are these laws all about, the Kohen? So this is something I really talked about like 2 years ago, Parshas Shemini. And that's talking about what the role of a Kohen is. What are the Kohanim supposed to do? Well, they obviously did the Avoda and the Beit HaMikdash. But there's another side of that. And this is kind of a place you wouldn't expect. This is the law of Egel Arufa. And Ki Tavo, if you find a murdered body, you don't know who did it, If you find a corpse in the land, in the land that you have inherited, nofel basadeh, then killed out in the field. Call the CSI guys out. They look for DNA. Lod adam yikau, but they can't solve the case. So the elders and judges go out, and they measure to the closest city, and then the elders of the city come and say, it wasn't our fault, we didn't leave, we didn't abandon him. Talk about that. And then, and the Kohanim have to go out. Kohanim, Levim, they're going to be, those terms will be used interchangeably. Kohanim, B'nei Levi will have to come out. Kibam bachar Hashem elokecha, because they were chosen by God, to serve him, and bless his name, bless in the name of God. And according to their word, will be all arguments and all lesions. I get the nigaim part, that's our parsha. Alpihem, they declare what's going on with the nega. But what's alpihem yekol riv? What are Kohanim doing in arguments, legal issues. What do they have to do with the murder case? And if you look at it, it seems that Kohanim has two different roles. This is Moshe's bracha to Shevet Levi. And again, we're taking a look at the role of Levi, the tribe of Levi as a whole, Kohanim being a subset of that. Levi said, you have the Urim and Tumim, you're a chassid, etc. And then Yoru Mishpatecho Yaakov. They will teach your laws. Yaakov, the Torah Chal Israel, they will teach Torah to Israel. Yehimuka Tarava Fecha, they offer the incense, Ukhalil Mizbechecha, and the sacrifices on the altar. So the two roles. There's the role of teaching, of Yoru Mishpatecho, of Hora'ah, of showing the Mishpatim and the Torah to Israel, in addition to the ritual side of it, the Yasimu Katarava Pecha.
You're thinking the Riv and the Nega. They're the teaching together. That's one thing. And the other thing is the Avoda. Or is it three things?
Right.
There are three things.
No, I think that's two things. Let's talk about what that means to do Hora'ah. Why are Kohanim doing Hora'ah?
Okay.
Let's have to look at that. What does that mean? Right? And this is a midrash on that. Yoru Mishpatecho Yaakov, they will teach, L'meisha kol Hora'ot enam yotot el v'pihem, that all Hora'ah has to come from the Kohanim. As it says, v'pihem yekol riv v'kol nega. Somehow, only Kohanim can teach Torah. Please. Not true. And something about Turim about that Yerush Yaakov, the Yafuti Bakol Yisrael Lumakura, that they're spread out. Right? You're not supposed to stay inside the Mikdash the whole time. They spread out within Israel. And that's what Yaakov should give them, the bracha of Avakim Yisrael, I'll spread them out in Israel. So this other role of the Kohen. And then somehow they had some role in judgment as well. I mean, it says that when it talks about establishing a central court, the Makom HaShev Char Hashem. If you don't know what the halakha is, you need to go to Yerushalayim, sort of say Yerushalayim, whatever, the place where the Mikdash will be. Uvata el HaKohanim HaLevi'im, you'll come to the Kohanim Levi'im, the El HaShofet, and to the judge, HaShev Yehba'im Imahem, that will be there those days, in your days. And they will look into it and they will decide the final. They are the final court of appeals. Somehow it's the Kohanim and the Shofet. And you'll do what they say. What are the Kohanim doing with this Mishpat? Why do you have to go to Kohen for a Shofet? You have a Shofet. What's the Kohen doing there?
Mm-hmm.
The thing goes back, there's an interesting comment in Gemara. I'm going to pop up. This is the way to read the comment statement of the Gemara to say you should know that Nega'im, the Tzara'at, lesions, Mikra Merubah, there are a lot of psukim about it, but there's not a lot of halacha. Everything's written down. There's not a lot of Torah Shabbat about that. Ohalot, the laws of Tuma in an Ohel, again, that's the one that's in Parsha Chukah. Mikram Uat, only there are very few psukim on it. Balachot Merubot, and there's a lot of laws about that. That all comes from Torah Shabbat. But my Nakamina, why do I care? What do I get out of this distinction? It means that if you're not sure what to do in the case of a nega, of a tarat, I am bekrai. Look at the psukim. You have text that tells you. You have a question about what to do in the case of Tumat Ohel, I am Matnitin. You're going to need to look at the mission. You need to look at the Torah Shabbat. Fundamentally, what it means is that the Kohanim are the keepers of the Torah Shabbat. You want to know what the authentic text is? That's what the Kohen is, because that's what it was. That was what in the Beit Hamikdash, in the Kodesh Kodeshim, was the original Torah. That's the source. You were on your ballot, you know, what changes have happened, you got to go to the original. That's at the end of Moshe's life. So he writes the Sefer Torah down. They said Moshe to Levim, they'll say Aaron Brit Hashem and more. Moshe commands the Levim who are carrying the Aaron, and says, Lakacha Sefer Torah Zeh. Go take this Sefer, this book that I've just written, the Samtem Oto Mitzad Aaron Brit Hashem, okay, go put it right next to the Aaron. V'yasham B'chat Le'et. That's your testimony. And Naftali Bar Ilan. His name is actually Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Bar Ilan, which is the name of the Netziv. It was Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Berlin. The Netziv's son was Mayor Bar Ilan, who basically Hebraicized his name from Berlin to Bar Ilan.
Is that where the name comes from?
Bar Ilan. The university is named after Mayor Bar Ilan, who is the son of the Netziv, who is Naftali Berlin.
Huh.
So, Naftali Bar Ilan, it's a long line of distinguished rabbis. He wrote a book about how do you establish a modern political state in the eyes of Halakha. It's huge. Here he is. It's Mishtar Medina B'Yisrael Al Pi HaTorah. And you can actually see it online if you want to read this book.
So he's modern, he's current. This is like the current.
I think he's passed away since. So he's like four generations. But here's the book, all 4 to 76 pages of it.
When was this published? Is there a date on that?
That's a good question.
Like after the state? I mean, this wasn't theoretical. This was now that we have a state, what do we do?
Yes, this was after the state. Here we go. This looks like it was copyright 2013. So very contemporary.
Yeah.
Maybe still. Curious. See what Google says. No. I want to see who he is. That's Mayor Brian. Let me.
Conference.
Brian, 2019. Okay, but so he's, I guess, still alive. Mm-hmm. Definitely contemporary. Anyway, you can read the book. But he talks about what the Kohen. So this is that the role of the Kohen is to be carriers of tradition, not just in the ritual, but in Talmud Torah as well. They are the ones who preserve the text. You want to know what the words are? Here it is. This is the Bar Ilan. Yitim the Farish HaPasuk, the Derech HaSefet. This is talking about in where it says you have to go to the Kohen and the Shofet. Imelflimi Beitin Shebeir. If the court in the city is unsure about a rule, Devar HaKashur, hey, there we go. That's how to spell it with Kesher. The Nusach HaMikras, it's relevant to the text. What do the words say? Uvatel HaKohen Yimalvim. Then you go to the Kohen. Em Ufkim Mukadim Al Shmet Torah Shebiktav. They're the ones who are pointing. They're watching over the Torah Shebiktav. Vohorata. That's what Hora means. Not in terms of figuring it out, but in terms of here is the original text. And they can tell you the authentic version of PSA from Menach Ba'azara. According to you, and they can, it's necessary, you can look at the Sefer Torah that's there in the Mikdash. Bring Melachim, and you can look in Sefer Melachim when it says, Vayomer Chilkiyo Kohen Gadol Al Shafan Sofer Sefer Torah Matzati. That's the famous story where they found a Sefer Torah. And Yoash, I think, is a little kid after the depredations of Atalia. And they find a Sefer Torah, and they have this big revolution. Everyone goes, does tshuva. And similarly, he quotes the Gemara we quoted, Chagiga, in the Saf Golan Milta B'Negayim, I am B'Krai. If you need to know about Negayim, you need to look at the Pesukim. Muvam is Neimat, Gazrat Harash, Davka, Kohen Nimro, Imanim. That's why Kohanim, the ones who see Negayim, because that is something inherent in the text. And it's the idea of text, it's not so much just the written text, but the tradition. That's what the Kohanim right there. They're the carriers of the tradition. They're not the ones who are figuring out. That's not the drasha side. That's the shofet. Here is what the book says. Here's what we'll do with it. If you want to know what the book says, you got to go to the Kohen.
And it's also not
they're the ones who have
just
to
do- Kohanim know about Tuma and Tahara. It's not that kind of spiritual Kohanim role. It's what are the rules? Let's see what's written.
Right. And again, that's not the psak side of it, which is what do you, here are the rules, what do I do with it in this case, but what are the rules?
Okay.
Need both. Okay, you need both the, right? But im yachli mi dena ir davar kashru a torch val peh, but if it's a torch val peh in the sense of trying to figure out what do I do with these rules, then I'll hand this note, then you have to look el shofet asher yebayim. Then they go to the shofet.
Oh.
And it will base it on that's the way Barzal puts it. Again, it's not just so much the text of the Torah Shebaktav, but Kohanim the keeper of the Mesorah. Of the Torah Shebaktav.
Wait. I thought it's saying they're not the Mesorah Torah Shebaopeh people. They're the
That's what I want to talk about very much. That the word Torah Shebaopeh means two very different things.
Oh.
Okay? And they get confused, and I think that's and you can argue, this is Rav Lichtenstein. He puts it that there, the Halakhic order comprises three distinct tiers. There is first an ideal, presumably monistic, meaning holistic, universal plane, the Torah B'Shamayim. Hashem has some kind of ideal Torah. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what he told Moshe. That's what he brought down. But we don't have that. We can't go back and ask God what we're supposed to do. That gets lost through the generations. So that's where we end up with this figuring out. Even Moshe didn't have it all, right? He talks about being 49 levels of understanding. Still the 50th is what is left to us for everyone to figure out. Rambam says that not everything is there. We have these ways we can figure it out, the way we understand Torah. This is Rav Lichtenstein. So there are those who disagree that there is some kind of Platonic ideal Torah out there in heaven. It says that there's this the final phase, the definitive corpus, the genre of the Shulchan Aruch, which having decided among various views, posits again monistically was demanded of the Jew. That's what we have today. First of all, Pat, as it has developed. Again, those are two different things. And our assumption is that they're pretty close to each other, that what we're doing is pretty close to what God wants. We don't know that. In fact, the whole story of the Tanur Shalach Nai. Right, when Elazar says, you know, if I'm right that the walls of the Beit Mikdash prove me right, or if I'm right that a Bat Kol come down, prove me right, and the voice of heaven says, of course he's right. But it says, Lo b'shamayni. That even when we are clearly not doing this, what we have decided is not the Platonic ideal of Torah in heaven. That's a human Torah Shavuot that's there. That's the Shulchan Aruch side of it. And he points out that intermediately, however, there's a vibrant and transcendent world in which the exegetical debate and analytic controversy are the order of the day, and within which divergent, even contradictory views are equally accredited. Results all attain the status of Torah as a tenable, variant meaning of the Dvar Hashem. Both these and those are the words of the living God. So this second half, we put the two different tiers, is this, the other meaning of the word Torah Shabbalta. So there is the, that which was handed down, then everything that we have now. We don't have that much of Masorah at this point. We can't say this is what God told Moshe.
Oh, that's what Masorah means, what God told Moshe. Not, oh, I was thinking of it as what was handed down, what my grandmother did, what her mother did, what her mother did.
Okay, that's true, but that composed of both parts. That some of that is may go back all the way to the original.
Right.
Some of that has been, okay, we don't know, but we've got to reconstruct it. Got to figure out what we do. And plus all the minhagim and all the midrabanan that get put onto them.
Right.
Not, we don't have a Torah law. All that goes into the Torah. But what the Kohanim are there is trying to say, this is the original. That this, the Kohen represents, so the Kohen is the intermediate between Hashem and us and the people. In the Avoda, Kohen represents the people of God. In terms of Hora, that's representing the voice of God. This is what a God originally said. The keeper of the authentic Torah Shebiktav. And I would say also the voice of the original Torah Shebiktav, this ideal Torah of Shemayim. That's the role of the Kohen. This is what it was. You're not figuring it out.
I'm thinking, Masorah is from Sinai, what God said. And the Kohanim are the text and the Masorah. But Torah Shebal Peh is okay. The development of it over the years and generations.
I think we use the word Torah Shebal Peh in both senses. That the Torah Shebal Peh, there was a Torah Shebal Peh given to Moshe originally, which is the, okay, this is what the Torah means. And there's a Torah Shebal Peh, which consists of everything that we've done, a human being that Jews have done
right.
since then.
Okay, so where's the Kohan?
Those are two different meanings there of the phrase.
Right.
And
okay.
Confusing them. And I just got a wonderful book edited by Gil Student and Yoram Chazoni about Torah Mishamayim, which I was disappointed in because I think a lot of the authors confuse those two things and what they mean. It's like to say that rabbis figured things out is not to deny Torah Mishamayim. So two different things. Okay? So I said he has the ideal Bashamayim Torah, the monistic Torah. That's one side of it. And whatever we have of that, that's the role of Kohanim to bring in.
Okay.
Both Torah Shvapeh, which includes the Chidushim, right? Because there's a dialectic in understanding Torah between the innovation and conservatism. But the important part of Torah is what we as human beings bring into it, right? We have to figure it out. Hashem doesn't give us the answers anymore. Here's life. Hashem says, no, your job is, here are the pieces. Here's the text to have. Here's what you have to figure out. This is the tzedakah koyim l'vlim. He's using this Torah Shebal Peh in the second sense. Torah Shebal Peh ma shechishu chachmei Yisrael. Torah Shebal Peh means that which chachmei, wise of Israel, have innovated. Chachmei Yisrael, Ukenesi Yisrael. Both rabbis and the people as a whole. Of the Israel as a whole. And they had to gut Libam, according to what they could understand, Libam and Mocham, their hearts and minds, the Ratzon Hashem Yisrael. That's what they understand of what Ratzon Hashem is. Who has a gush, a chalak lem Hashem Yisbarach, and that was granted by God, that understanding, kafi timtum Libam and Mocham, according to their limited hearts, their limited hearts and minds. We are limited human beings. We know that. Still, we have given the power of determining Torah Shebal Peh. But there's another side of it, which is the saying, this is what it was, and this is what it always will be, which is the conservative side, which uses the word that we like for today. The conservative
with a little
word
C. For history. Conservative with a little C.
Well, not the political
right.
party, right.
Right.
William Buckley. Getting athwart history, yelling stop. That is a great quote. You can actually do that, right? And this, and this is Rabbi Sacks put it, about what the Kohanim are there for. Not Nevi'im, they're not Chachamim. It's a different role. Okay, they inhabit a world that is timeless, ahistorical, in which nothing significant changes. The daily, weekly, year, and sacrifice are always the same. Every element of the service of the tabernacle was bound by its own detailed rules, and nothing of significance was left in the tradition of the priest. The priest was a guardian of order. The priest's vocation was to remind the people of their limits. There's an order of the universe and must respect it. Spontaneity has no place in the life of the priest or in the service of the sanctuary. That is what Nadav and Abihu failed to honor. It might seem like a minor transgression, but it's in fact the negation of everything the tabernacle and priesthood stood for. That's what Kohen is supposed to be. So I'd say that I can't believe I just didn't notice that. Kashu, the Chaf, the Rat, and Tumatara are not so much about the halakha derivation. That's Masora. There's got to be conditional tradition, right? What animals are kosher? I have to know that animal's kosher because I have Masora that I ate that animal. You can't look at a text and figure that out. We don't have pictures. We don't have DNA. These are kosher animals. Same thing with Tzaraat. What Tzaraat actually looks like, not written down anywhere. It's got to be from the experience. That's what Masora means. The sense of continuous from the time it was originally given. And you need to know that you're never allowed to ask me about turkeys. Right?
Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan has come to my shiur about the turkey question as well.
Yeah.
He showed me the menu from the Ari Zitovsky's Kosher Dinners.
Yeah.
One of his friends. They have these every couple of years, have these massive dinners where they eat all these animals. Just to maintain the Masorah. Like this, we are now having a okapi.
Or a giraffe. Animal. Do they have giraffe?
Giraffe, yes.
Ooh.
They have a giraffe.
Well,
all these obscure birds and things like that. That's guy in the sword. That's a Kohen kind of role. That's the point where you say, no, we're not. That's where the dialect goes, not in the same innovation, but where you stand athwart history and yell, stop. The parsha reminds us that we can't be in front of our cleverness, that we're just going to make new things up, that our goal still is to achieve the Ratzon Hashem. The idea that there is this Ratzon Hashem that's out of reach, but it's Bashamayim, but we can have some pieces to kind of build it together there. And that's what the fact that a Kohen needs to say, that's a Rat, that's a kosher animal, that's a real Kohen. A little vote for conservatives, lowercase c conservatism. Yeah.
And yet,
in context of a lot of
the idea, the way the word we use for developing is chidushim, you know?
Yes.
New ideas, it's, you know?
No, that's what I said. That's the dialectic.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. You need the chidushim, otherwise you won't survive. That's yeah. Our job is to, our existence on this world is to create chidushim.
Chidushim that are reflective of the original,
right?
The opposite.
Your goal is your goal in making chidushim is not to be clever; it's to say, I really think this is the will of God. That's what that's what your goal is to say. Okay, this is my contribution to create that God's creation is this little innovation here.
So Reev and Nega encompass the teachings, encompass the role of the Kohen.
Right.
How does Reev and Nega?
The Nega is clearly the Masorah. You got to have seen it to know it. You have to have seen it, learn it from someone else. And that's why Ilan's argument about the Reev is not so much to decide the case, but to say, here's what the text, here's what the logbooks say.
Okay. And now the jury.
Okay, right. I can say, well, I've got a textbook. I got a book on the shelf, and the other guy says, no, my version of it says something different. That's the rule of Kohen. Here's the original.
So when I saw that with you now, Reev Nega, my first thought about Reev was like Aharon, Doresh, Dore, Rafe Shalom, like make peace with the Reef, you know. But it's not, that's not what, where they're going with that.
That's, I don't think that's what that's about. Right. They're not.
Right. You could do a whole shayur on that.
I could. Reef,
you know, disputes and how to get along with each other. And nega is the written word, the law, blah, blah, blah. But Reef is human. Anyway, very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
Okay, so now it's edited and saved. Good.
Yeah. Good to think about what Torah Sheba Al Peh means. You know, what is that?
So I did one thing with Tanakh Shir on this. I'm going to stop the recording here.